Hello, and welcome to the first episode of. Right, retake this. Three, two, one. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Fans Coach. This will be kind of a hybrid YouTube video slash podcast. Be mostly geared towards a podcast, I'd say, but I also want to put it on YouTube. So I'm just going to have a football reference open. I'll just be going over each game. And yeah, I have some talking points just about what happened in all the games, but also on this channel there'll be videos in the future more around like sports data things, like looking at team salary cap breakdowns, probably just like some tier makers for like players. I think that stuff is really interesting, even if everyone does it, but yeah, for now I'll just be breaking out some games and talking about some general trends in the NFL. So for this week, I've watched most of the NFL Week One games. So I'll be breaking those down from the very first one that happened, Dallas Philly, to the last one that happened, Minnesota at Chicago. So yeah, I guess right into the content. Just before I even talk about any of the games, man, if you've watched football for many years, you might know that defenses start out the season pretty hot, and this Week One was no exception. I think only like two or three games, including the Minnesota Chicago game, like hit the over under for the week, which is pretty wild. I mean, it just makes sense. I think offenses are probably a bit more complicated in the NFL today. I think the defenses have had a few years now where they roughly run the same things, and I think that spans throughout the different levels of football as well. So they're being a bit more streamlined. The players are more familiar in offense. It takes them a bit of time to catch up. I think, man, there is no more evident example than that in this week one. One thing I will want to say about the defense is that, man, dude, there are so many dropped picks this week. Like, I watched most of the games from week one at this point, every snap of most games, and there was at least five to six like dropped interceptions. Not like, oh, they had a play, like two hands on it, like. Not in the air, just defender was just like had an easy catch and they just dropped it, man. So that was pretty disappointing. The adage they play defense for a reason is really a horrible one, because like all NFL players are like insane athletes who are probably very good at like most positions similar to theirs in football. I think cornerbacks would be decent receivers and vice versa, but yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe that theory I have was totally shaken after this week. One thing I do want to say, dude, having a good kicker, man, makes a huge difference. I think you saw that in most notably the Bengals Browns game, where the Browns kicker, they lost the game because of him. Obviously they still could have won even if with those missed kicks, but they should have won that game 100%. The Steelers probably only win that game because Chris Boswell makes a 60-yarder. And even just going back to the preseason, man, like you got the Jaguars kicker, like Cam Little, I think his name is, hits like a 70-yard in the preseason. Like that's such a weapon, dude. Like you only need to get the ball like 20 yards. If you start out with a 35 on the new touchback rules, you only need to get the ball like 20 yards to be in like in field goal range. Like at the end of a half, that's crazy, man. That's like one play. That's not even that hard. Just 20 yards down the field. I think there's a few other games too. I want to say the New Orleans kicker, I think, might have missed a kick. The Falcons missed a kick that would have put the game in overtime. So I don't know. There's a few good kickers out there, and I'm not advocating you draft a kicker, but you got to get a good kicker, dude. It makes a world of difference. That's like 3 to 7 points, like swing every game. Last thing I want to mention, kind of a funny story going into this week with fantasy football. I had the second pick in a draft, and I would have taken Bijan Robinson. Of course, I love Bijan, and like he's I think the consensus number two pick. But there was a weird scoring settings where like you got points for like 40-yard plays by your players. So that made me a bit hesitant to pick Bijan because I don't think last year he had a 40-yard play like at all, like in receiving or rushing. Maybe that was 50 plus, but I think when I checked, he didn't even have a 40 plus yard play. So I'm like, okay, well, I think him and Saquon are like pretty equal in terms of like fantasy value. So I just went Saquon. I found out later too that there's only one running back league, so that's also kind of weird. And yeah, definitely narrowed my decision to the two of those. But yeah, like the what third play of the Falcons like season on offense, Bijan has like a 52-yard like receiving touchdown. So That's really funny. I was just like, yeah, of course, knowing my luck in fantasy. Maybe I'll share some other fantasy stories later of how I've done horribly. But one other fantasy note I do want to say, I don't know if anyone else has had this thought, but like defensive pass interference penalty yards should be points for your receiver. Like, dude, George Pickens would be like a viable receiver one or two every week, man. He draws so many DPIs. I think he drew like one or two in the Eagles game, despite only being targeted like 3 to 5 times. I don't think that counts the DPIs. So maybe like 6, 7 times total. He drew like two bit like pass interferences. One of them was big too. I think that should be fantasy points. There's nothing worse than like your receiver's open, gonna catch like a 40-yard bomb, and then he just gets like shellacked by the cornerback. And you don't get any fantasy points for that. I know like fantasy doesn't matter to these NFL players. They're probably just as happy drawing that like DPI, but I don't know. It doesn't show up in their like actual stats that, maybe some more poorly managed and run teams like I don't know, not to name, I don't want to name names, but like maybe the Giants or the Bengals. Oh, I name names, crap. But yeah, maybe they'll like look at the stats more and that won't show up in their stats and fantasy. So I don't know, just as a fan, it's annoying. I just wanted to talk about that. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into these games actually. So the first one that was played was Cowboys Eagles. Eagles pull this out by 4 points. I think it's pretty well documented at this point, but weird start to the game where like Jalen Carter gets ejected before like the game really even starts by spitting on Dak Prescott. And we find out during the weather delay in the third quarter that Dak actually spit at him first. Like he didn't spit on Jalen Carter, like Jalen Carter spat on Dak. I thought that was interesting. Honestly, I hope like Dak gets fined or, punished in some way for that, because I don't know. I know the second man is always the one who gets hit with the flag or the punishment, but that was pretty annoying. I don't know. I feel like the retaliating player should get some benefit of the doubt here. Obviously, I know like that didn't even come out until later, but that was just an interesting note. Overall, dude, the Cowboys looked really good, man. I think they were like what, 8.5 point like underdogs in this game, which is crazy for a week one divisional game, even if they're on the road. But yeah, they beat the spread, I guess. Not a betting person, but I don't know, it's an interesting thing just to go off of in games. They look good, man. I think like the O-line handled the Eagles pretty well, even like though Jalen Carter was out. I feel like the Eagles pass rushers didn't do great. I think losing Josh Sweat really hurts. But yeah, like Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis look better in pass rush, I guess. But yeah, Nolan Smith, I'm totally blanking on their other pass rushers right now, but yeah, they really did not get after the quarterback too much. I think the Dallas O-line held up pretty well. And they got some pretty good push like in the run game too. I think Javonte Williams looked like good. He looked pretty explosive. Like I don't think he's to his like UNC or like rookie or self, but he looked pretty explosive. I think his game looks a lot better just because he got those two touchdowns, which were kind of fluky, right? He's not gonna get two touchdowns every week, but just on a down and down basis, he looked much more explosive than he had in the years past. I think the most notable thing for the Cowboys, though, is just like, CeeDee Lamb drops what, like 3, 4 balls this game? I don't really consider that last one a drop. Like, yeah, you probably want your $40 million or whatever he is, $35 million receiver catching that. But like, that's a tough catch, man. Also, their defense played well. I think the Dallas defense did improve in the run game, at least, getting Kenny Clark over Micah Parsons. I think that was definitely noticeable. I think the pass rush played pretty well too. I guess I'll kind of pivot into what I saw from the Eagles, man. But Jordan Mailata got beat like 2 or 3 times by Marshawn Nyland or Dante Fowler. I think those guys really stepped up big in week one. So even without Micah, they were able to get almost like a similar level of pressure. I think like elite pass rushers do matter more, particularly like ends of games rather than like down to down basis. I'll talk about that later. But so obviously I'm not advocating that they should have traded Micah Parsons, but like they held up, I would say. I think AJ Brown was hurt this game. He has what, like one target, one reception for like 7 yards. So great reception percentage, 100%. Let's go, baby. But like, yeah, very little impact. I think he was just mostly here as a decoy. I think Dallas Goedert or like Jahan Dotson, maybe Saquon like led this team in targets. So that was weird. I feel like the Eagles like run game too. Let's take a look at the stats. Sorry, I probably should have done that earlier. Let's see. Yeah, the Eagles rushing stats. Sorry, I did not look at this earlier. just not that good. Like Saquon had 18 carries for 60 yards, and that just checks out watching the game. I feel like they just didn't get much push in the offensive line. Like there's a lot of plays. He was just getting like contacted like first in the backfield. They're like 1 to 2 yards down the field, which is just very different than you expect from the Eagles. I think their new guard, Tyler Steen, played okay. I think it was just like the other guys mostly that weren't playing great. I think Tyler Steen looked okay. I just think the Eagles O-line as a whole, especially like the interior, was not too good in run blocking, which you wouldn't expect against the Dallas defense. Yeah, I think that's about all I have for this game. I think the Eagles looked pretty dominant. I think like this was not a great game for them. One thing I'm probably gonna reference a few times in this video, just throughout my videos as a whole, just is kind of like a bell curve. Just visualize a bell curve with me. Like it's very like small at like both extremes of the axes, and it's like gets larger in the middle. So think about like how like men's heights across the world would be like distributed. I'm gonna use that to like reference how well I think like a player or a team did. I think this game was maybe like a 30th percentile game for like the Eagles. I think a lot went wrong. AJ Brown was hurt. Like their run game wasn't that good. Jalen Carter gets ejected before the game even starts, and they still beat Dallas, I would say, pretty easily. The game kind of got ruined because of the lightning delay. I don't think anyone scored after that, but I think the game was not quite as close as the final score suggests. Like the Dallas played well for sure, but the Eagles were pretty dominant, I would say. They looked pretty solid on both sides of the ball. So that was a while in the first game. Try to go through these next ones a bit quicker. Next, we'll go to Kansas City Chargers. So this was an interesting game. I was just happy it was a good game, man. I was concerned about the fields. Like the field was horrible last year in the Brazil game between the Eagles and Packers, and that just really, like, I don't know, put a damper on the game, I would say. So I was happy there didn't seem to be that issue in it. I feel bad for the Brazilian NFL fans. They probably think like Quentin Johnston's like the GOAT. They're probably gonna like buy this dude's jersey in the next week and just like rock it for years. Then someday, like 6 years in the future, they'll find out that Quentin Johnston is like a wide receiver four on like the Jaguars or something. And yeah, that'll probably be a pretty disappointing moment. But I'm just kidding. I like Quentin Johnston, but it's just funny that he like popped off in Brazil. Yeah, this was just a weird game. Xavier Worthy goes out on like the fourth play of the game or something. The Chiefs offense really looked anemic after that. It wasn't really till Mahomes hit a deep shot to Tyquan Thornton, which he missed like two earlier. I would wager that's because those deep shots probably were meant to go to Worthy, and so he was used to a guy who was a bit faster than him, so he overthrew Tyquan Thornton twice. Maybe not, I don't know. Tyquan Thornton is really fast. He's not Xavier Worthy fast, so maybe, I don't know. I'll chalk it up to that. I still give Mahomes the benefit of the doubt, even though he hasn't been quite as good the last like 2 years, I would say, especially on those deep passes, just as he's probably just practicing it less because the Chiefs don't throw it as much. So he only hit like 1 out of 3 of those deep shots. Yeah, Hollywood Brown stepped up. He had a rough drop, I think, in the first half, but yeah, he really picked it up and yeah, just became their dominant target for the game, which you really would have loved to see that be Travis Kelce. I was kind of high on him. Just, the reports coming to the year, like he was in great shape after not being in so great shape last year, and I was expecting him to kind of feast when Worthy got ruled out, but that didn't really happen. The only other thing I want to mention from the Chiefs side, you lose this game, but like it's Brazil, it's week one, it's not really a huge deal. I think they just got, I don't want to say lucky last year winning all those close games, but like that's not going to happen again. So this was just a close game that they couldn't pull out. That's fine. I think the Chiefs are still going to be totally fine. Just it was kind of concerning that Chris Jones, I feel like, did not have the impact that he usually does. I think Joe Alt played great, but like Chris Jones slides up like all up and down the defensive line. So it's kind of weird that like even against like the Chargers not as great offensive lineman, he didn't really do much. There was one play in particular where like he was matched up on I think Zion Johnson is the Chargers left guard. And dude, he just didn't do anything. It was like a third down and he was just like he made a move and kind of got blocked, but like he didn't go to like a counter. He kind of just like stood there and did nothing. It was really disappointing. I know like they showed him on the sidelines a few times just between plays in the second half. Like I'm sure he was gassed, maybe not in full NFL shape yet, but I'm like, man, I really felt like his impact was lacking. For the Chargers, I don't know if I have too much to say. I feel like this was a really good game for them. I feel like no one stood out to me in particular except Justin Herbert. I think the rest of the team just played like solid. Herbert played great, and they kind of just got out of here with the win, took an early lead, and were able to hold on to it well. What did surprise me was just like the passing, like mindset and schemes that Greg Roman had. Greg Roman, obviously, like big, heavy personnel run first guy, and just the Chargers came out throwing the ball, and that was pretty shocking to me. So we'll see if that continues. Maybe it's just like because they're playing the Chiefs, they're trying to throw them off. Yeah, Trey Pipkins held up well, as I think he's the backup tackle. Alt moved over to the left to replace Slater. Pipkins is now the right tackle. He played totally fine, and I don't think George Karloftis is all that in a bag of chips, but Trey Pipkins did a solid job on him. I think that was mostly the matchup. The next game that happened was the Buccaneers Falcons game. This was an interesting game. I enjoyed watching the first part of the game and the end of the game. The middle was pretty rough. I think Penix was missing a lot of passes. The Falcons defense had stepped up there, like for a few drives. But that it was a really fun game overall. I think for the Buccaneers, yeah, just I don't know. Maybe on that bell curve I mentioned earlier, this was like a 50% game for them. Like it looked okay. You know, you're missing Wirfs. I think the O-line played like fine without him. Obviously, you definitely noticed Wirfs was missing. I think the Falcons rookie pass rushers and Arnold Ebikadie just had a little more success than they otherwise would have. I thought Ebikadie actually played really well. But sorry, back to the Buccaneers. I'm trying to do this team by team. Buccaneers pass rush was pretty solid. I think like with Caleb McGarry being out, I would have liked to see him get a little more pressure. It seemed like Yaya Diaby, he was just like bull rushing into the backup tackle. I completely forget his name for the Falcons, but I think I would have wanted a bit more out of him given the matchup. But he and Hassan Reddick played pretty well, I thought. Yeah, Emeka Ebuka is just good, man. I think like that draft strategy by the Buccaneers is just so smart, just drafting like talent over positional need. You see that with like with the Texans last year, like the Bucs this year, like they come into the season with just like really deep looking receiver groups, and like yeah, one, two, three guys in the Texans case, I think like go down, and yeah, you just need bodies out there. So I think that's a great process by the Buccaneers. Taking Emeka Ebuka, you see it already paying dividends. I think maybe once McMillan and Godwin come back, maybe you're like, ah, I wish we took Jihad Campbell just because Servasio Dennis wasn't too great. He had some good plays. He had one really bad play where I think he kind of blew an assignment. It might have even got like benched for a driver a few plays because of that. But maybe you wish you took someone else. But I think long term, especially, we don't know how much longer Evans is going to be around. I think just drafting him was really solid. Let's scroll down to the stats here, actually. I don't think I'll have too much to say about the stats. Turning over to the Falcons, though, I thought Penix played all right. I mean, you see here, he had a good amount of passing yards, about like 300, but yeah, he played well. There was a stretch, though, where he just kept like missing passes, and that was pretty hard to watch. I mean, a lot of those passing yards, too, like what, a sixth of them? On that one Bijan Robinson like long catch and run, which is just that was all him, you know. I think other things in the Falcons, the play calling was not good. There is some like short yardage situations though. Like it was the most predictable thing ever. Very poor like run concept, I felt like. I feel like that's kind of unfortunately gonna be the demise of the Falcons. I feel like they might have like the worst coaching in the league. I don't think that's a stretch to say. If like Raheem Morris, you would have loved to see him do more with the defense last year. Like they didn't really get better. I think maybe it looked a bit better like week one, but I think just because that was because they're more talented with like Xavier Watts and the rookie edge rushers coming in. So you're not getting a ton with him. And I feel like the offensive coaching in Atlanta is not that good. I think somehow Arthur Smith was better. I mean, I say that I really like Arthur Smith as a Steelers fan. I guess I kind of have to, but I think he showed this week why, you know, his strengths. We'll get into that later, though. think that's all I have to say on the Falcons, though. I don't know. Tough way to lose. Younghoe missing a kick. I think he even missed a kick earlier in the game, so like probably should have won that game. But the last thing I have to say, Michael Penix had some hilarious dives in this game. I think both of them, he kind of got like tripped up, but dude, he like dove like for the first down, and then he dove for the end zone both times, man. He just like flopped. Like he like hit the ground hard. And that was really funny. Let's speed this up a little bit. I think I said that in the last one, but totally didn't do that. We'll skip this game. I think that was a Sunday night game. We'll skip to the Bengals Browns. I was watching this game last night, the condensed version, and there was a point in the game. I was all by myself, so maybe this is like a sign that I'm like mentally not okay. But I was just like out loud, I don't want to watch this game anymore. I mean, this was a really sloppy game, dude. The first half was like the offenses were moving the ball pretty well, but there was so many penalties, dude. And then, oh, yeah, I'll consider. And then in the second half, like the Bengals couldn't do anything on offense, and the Browns were missing kicks, throwing picks, which was kind of due to drops, not Flacco. But yeah, I think the Bengals had like 7 yards of total offense in the second half. Like it was bad, dude. The Bengals should not have won this game. Yeah. Fire Zach Taylor. That's all I have to say. I don't know. The Bengals come out. It's looking disastrous every year. Even though this goes down as a win, not a win you should be proud of. You should have handled this Browns team. I thought they played pretty well. Maybe if we're looking at that bell curve, this was like a 75th percentile outcome, 80th percentile maybe even for them. Thought they played well, but not a team the Bengals should go down to the wire with and, you know, should have lost too if the Browns kicker didn't miss two kicks. I don't know if I have too much to say on the Bengals, man. I think they have like five tight ends on the roster now. That's why? Like, why? I think one of them's like injured. Maybe he's on the IRs, but just like, what are you doing? I know Gesicki's like kind of a receiver. He's not kind of, he is a receiver at this point. So, but he's still probably counting those five tight ends. Like, Gesicki is good. One note I wrote down, this is how much I was losing my mind watching this. Like, I wrote down that his ball spin celebration is like elite. Like he'll get a first down, just like spin the ball on the ground, just makes it look so effortless, and that ball spins like a freaking Beyblade. It's pretty sick. But like, if that's what I'm writing down for this game for the Bengals, like let's just move on to the Browns. I don't know what I have to say. Harold Fannin looked good. I think just like, just very smart, productive player. You know, I mean, he came out of Bowling Green, I think like leading the FBS and like receiving yards. Maybe that was Nick Nash, maybe that was Harold Fannin, definitely leading in receiving yards for tight ends. But just a smart player, dude. Like crazy as a rookie in this first game, just how quarterback friendly he was, like reading out zones, finding the open space for Flacco. That was pretty insane. I like what he did, but it's just weird. I know like he's a different like role than David Njoku, right? Njoku's more of like an inline tight end. I think they're like those, you know, those routes and just what they ask of them is going to be different. But like Harold Fannin had a great game, but you do kind of hate to see like Njoku maybe being a little less involved because Fannin was so involved. Njoku's just so much better after the catch, you know, just being that big body. He's like really explosive. And Fannin, not that great of an athlete, not that big, but I thought he had a good game. I love Harold Fannin. Wish him the best. But yeah, you like to see Njoku get a little more targets. No, I wrote down for the Browns, man. One of the drives, especially, I think it was like their second or first drive of the game. It was like 16 plays for like 60 yards. It was like watching me go back to Madden after like a 2 year break and like throwing three picks in the first half, and then just like then like playing and just trying to win the game. Like I'll just throw like mesh or like drag routes the entire game and just like run the ball for 3, 4 yards every play. That's just what it looked like. It was like hard to watch. Yeah, Myles Garrett, probably the best player in the league. We'll just stop it there. Gosh, he is so good, dude. He just had like one, two drives where he just shut down the Bengals all by himself. That was the most dominant. He was the most dominant player this week, I think, in my opinion. Carson Schwechinger looked good. I wrote that down as well. I think, especially like in the run game, where there's a little more concern about him. Just not having that much experience, being a little smaller, I thought he played well. Next game we're gonna talk about is this Miami Indianapolis game. Full disclosure, did not watch this game. I I really like the Dolphins. I really want them to be good. I love what they did in 2023. I think that's dead, man. I think Mike McDaniel might get fired like this season. Let me scroll down to the stats. He, what is this? Oh, the scoring summary. Cool. Nice. That's fun. He might get fired this season if it like keeps going like this. If not, definitely at the end of the year, man. I don't know. I don't think this Dolphins thing is working out, man. I really like the offseason moves they did. They kind of pivoted away from that speed into getting bigger bodied receivers like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, getting like O-linemen, getting D-linemen. You take Kenneth Grant in the first round. You take Jonah Savannah-Iyea. You think they're going to be more committed to the trenches? I didn't watch this game. Maybe their O-line held up well, but I think just you're not going to change your identity. You're not going to change your roster enough after one offseason, and it's just disappointing, you know. Take Mike McDaniel and Tua, man. They're just on the hot seat here. I don't know how much I have to say about the Dolphins. I really want it to work. Hopefully, they can make adjustments. But it seems like Mike McDaniel, great run game designer. His one big revelation was like getting those people in motion before the snap, and that. Carried the Dolphins pretty far. They just get matched up in a tough snow game. They lose in 2023, and it's just really been bad since then. Yeah, the Colts. I mean, this is a good win. We'll see maybe in the next few weeks whether this was a win because they're good and or because the Dolphins are bad, if you pick up what I'm putting down there. Daniel Jones, again, didn't watch the game, but just looking at the stat line and kind of what I've heard going around, like in other media and stuff. It's like he played well. I think just Anthony Richardson sucks. Like, I'm not saying he will never be good. I hope he's good someday, but he just isn't good right now. And I think that really held the Colts and what Shane Steichen wanted to do back. I think with Daniel Jones, you even get a lot of that same stuff with Richardson. Like, sure, he's definitely not like the same like dynamic rusher that Richardson is, but he can do enough just to create kind of make that spread offense, get the numbers mismatch going. So I think like you don't lose too much there. And he's just a way more competent passer. And you see that he can actually run this offense. So I'm really curious to see how the next few weeks go for the Dolphins, the Colts, and the Giants. I think we'll know a lot about those three teams and who Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, and Shane Steichen are just the longer we see them in different situations. Let's take a look at the defensive stats. Chop Robinson do anything? No. No, Matt Judon's on the Dolphins. I feel like I should have known that, but I had no idea. Oh, I see Minkah Fitzpatrick's name. I do want to bring him up. I'm a Steelers fan. I'll get that out of the way. Dude, exceptional trade from the Steelers. Minkah Fitzpatrick is just like very average safety at this point. Like, I think he's just kind of lost like that playmaking ability, just not as athletic. Like, he's so good in the fact that like he's not gonna blow coverages. He's not gonna let like people buy him. He's not going to take bad angles to the ball, like in the run or pass game. So he's super consistent, but I don't know. Like, he's a slightly above average safety at this point, just out of consistency, but lacks that playmaking. So don't really enjoy like him as a player too much. Like, if he's your starter, like, fine, great. But the Steelers get like Jalen Ramsey, who we'll talk about later, had a big impact, and Jonnu Smith out of him. I know there's other circumstances, like the Dolphins needed to trade Jalen Ramsey, so he just obviously didn't want to be there, but like, kind of hate that return for them. As a Steelers fan, love it, but let's just move on. I think we're going to need more time in the season just to kind of dissect these teams more. Yeah, Tennessee, Denver, straight up didn't watch this game either. Hopefully I will at some point. I think I watched a bit of it just on like Red Zone and stuff. But I don't know. Let me just go down the stats to refamiliarize myself with what happens. Yeah, obviously Bo Nix doesn't have a great game. Like a lot of turnovers, turnover-worthy plays, two picks, a fumble lost. I think it's fine. Bo Nix is fine. The reason I say that, at the beginning of last year, Bo Nix really struggled just to even run the Broncos offense in those first four games, I want to say. And but it's like end of the season, completely different story. Like he was running the offense well. I think he was playing at the schemes level, and he was maximizing. Let me rephrase that. He was getting enough out of the scheme to be successful. Like he was not carrying the scheme. The scheme and him were working kind of like very like
very evenly, where Bonix wasn't really elevating this game, but he was allowing it to run. And so I think from this game, I didn't watch like one or two drives of this probably, but from like what I've heard and like what I saw of the game, Bonix being like a little more improvisational. That's probably not a word. What I mean, he's like looking to create more outside of the offense, outside the scheme. And so the Broncos still win this game. So even though, like, yeah, like you definitely see the ramifications of that, that's totally fine. I think like he's developing as a player. Like you saw this last season. Like if Bo Nix takes the first 4 weeks of this season and just like is not that good because he's trying to improvise and like do like more than like the scheme, like than what he would have in the scheme last year, like I'm 100% like on board for that. So I honestly just love him kind of like doing things different. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I don't know if you're like a Broncos fan or like maybe you bet like your life savings on them winning the division or the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be concerned. I think this is good. They're playing the Titans with a rookie quarterback. They're not gonna win the game. There's what, like two rookie quarterbacks that have like won their first game since like the year 2000s, like who were the number one pick, which is what Cam Ward was, obviously. I think this was an encouraging game for Cam Ward. Like he's playing against a tough defense. Like they had an opportunity to win. It's like if they win this game, like even with the Broncos, you know, again, go back to my bell curve, maybe having like a 15 to 20% game is what I'd estimate out of this. Just, you know, again, not watching it, but that's what I'd estimate. You would love to see the Titans capitalize that on win, especially because their team is okay. Their roster is okay. I'm not a big Bill Callahan guy, but like Brian Callahan guy. Bill Callahan is his father. You'd love to see them win. Cam Ward statistically doesn't have a great game. I watched like a drive of him. I do need to watch this game. I'll go back and watch it before I say any more about Cam Ward. But yeah, I think it's fine. He wasn't abysmal. The stats do look abysmal though. 12 for 28 with 6 sacks. No picks, which is great. Fumble loss. But Broncos have an insane defense. So I'm not really concerned about it. I don't know. I'll have more to say about both of these teams later, but I'll go to the Carolina Jacksonville. This is, I think, the last game I didn't watch here. Yeah, this is the last game I didn't watch any of. Man, I like the Panthers. Would have loved to see them come out with a stronger performance here, especially because Jacksonville's defense is not that good. Okay, Jarvis Hunter played a bit of defense, but like obviously he's not going to change your defense being out there like 5 to 10% of snaps. The Jaguars defense is just not that good, man. And you would have loved to see the Panthers do a little more, especially because their offense has pretty good players. And yeah, that's kind of all I have to say, man. Just disappointing. I have Ted Aroa, McMillan in both the fantasy leagues I'm in. He had a fine game. 5 for 68. Don't know how he played because, you know, I didn't watch it, but like that could have been the greatest 5 for 68 ever or the worst 5 for 68. Really don't want to comment on it without watching, but tough game from the Panthers. Would have loved to see this be more competitive. The Jaguars. What do you do with this game? Like ETN kind of feasted, but like you're going against probably the worst defense of the NFL, so that's not surprising. They trade Tank Bigsby after this week. They throw the ball to Brian Thomas like 7 times for one reception. Like, what's going on there? Like, why you trade Tank Bigsby after one game? Like, is the faith in Bashaul Tutin that high? I mean, late round draft pick, but like, better player than the draft pick implies just because of the depth of the running back class. Which just, I don't know. That's weird, man. That's weird. I don't put too much stock in ETN's game. I would love to. Another guy I'm kind of have some stock in fantasy, but it's the Panthers defense. Trevor Lawrence. He's like, what, AFC Kyler Murray at this point? Like, he's. You know, like the talent is there. Just watching him, it's you just feel like there's something missing, and that's been the case for a while. I think like there's been valid excuses for Lawrence, injuries, poor coaching, but at a certain point, like you just gotta perform. You gotta elevate this team. I don't feel like he elevates this team that much. I think he does slightly. There's definitely stretches, especially like when he's running well, that he elevates this Jacksonville team, but just not a whole lot, man. And that's frankly pretty disappointing, you know? So we'll see. I do love Liam Cohen. I think he did great in like Tampa last year. So I'm hoping that this Jacksonville team can find that same success on offense. But like, again, didn't watch the game, but I know there's a weather delay in here as well. But I think we're just gonna need more time for both of these teams. We at least need to week like 4 or 5 to make any determination about how well these teams are gonna look. But hey, man, if you're a Jags fan, you better hope this team turns it around because you don't got your first round pick. So, next game I'm gonna go to is Raiders Patriots. This was a fun one. I watched this game, and yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed watching this game. That's what I would say. For the Raiders, man, Brock Bowers looks so good. Sucks he gets injured. Sounds like he'll be back next week. But man, just that run after catch ability. I know that's pretty well documented, but just looked really good, you know. You love to see the Raiders, you know, leaning into him on the offense, especially him and Michael Mayer on the field at the same time. Michael Mayer, like, probably does more this game than he's done most games in his career with Brock Bowers, which was just last season. So I don't know why I said it like that, but he did a good amount this game. We'll love to see the Raiders and Chip Kelly get them both involved in this offense. Geno Smith's passing yards is like insane. It didn't quite feel like that watching it. Yeah, I guess these quarterbacks had like 600 combined passing yards, which is like nuts. It definitely did not feel like that watching the game. I think just both pass defenses are pretty poor. Without Christian Gonzalez, the Patriots really couldn't cover. Yeah, Marcus Jones is good for like a splash play every once in a while, but just like it's really no consistency in the back end for the Patriots, especially after releasing Jabril Peppers. I don't know why they did that. Off-field stuff maybe, but that didn't make sense to me. Like Kayshon Boutte, like genuinely good game. Like he played well. He had one play where he like just strong physical, like I think it was like on the boundary, just gives like a nice little like legal push off to the defender covering him, who I don't remember who it was, but yeah, that was a nice play. He looked good. Other than him, Hunter Henry had his one of three good games for the year. Yeah, I think the Patriots offense wasn't that great. Drake May, love to see him just speed up that decision making, man. But I think overall, pretty solid game. Shouldn't have gotten sacked 4 times. Like the Raiders D line, you know, on paper is good, but they didn't play too well this game. Thought the Like they didn't play well, but the Patriots O-line is still not that good. I don't think Drake May did them favors by like holding onto the ball. So it's like, yeah, the 4 sacks I guess does feel about right. But regardless though, like he just needs to speed up a little bit. But I think if he's making quicker reads, Drake May is going to be so good. He played well despite that, even against a Raiders defense that played pretty well, I would say, considering a lack of talent apart from that D-line. I kind of mixed these two teams, I guess. That's kind of just how this game felt. It was just kind of a jumble of like mediocre football, I would say. I think you definitely do see the better coaching from both of these teams coming into play this year. So I'm excited to see like how these coaches elevate the teams as the year goes on. One other thing I want to say, Harold Landry. Ends this game with 2.5 sacks. Like, this was the least impressive 2.5 sacks I have ever seen in my life. Like, good for him. I know it's like probably been difficult, like having two like larger injuries in the last like 3 years, I think. Good for him, he gets paid. But it's like, I don't like what the narrative's gonna be like on him, like after this game, the next few weeks, like, oh, Harold Landry has 5 sacks through 6 games. Like, oh, what a great signing by the like Patriots. No. Like, his first sack comes off of like the two like edge rushers for the Patriots. I think Harold Landry was lined up like at like 5 or 7 tech. There was someone outside of him, is what I'm trying to say. I don't remember exactly how he was lined up, but they collapse the pocket. Landry just pushes the guy back a bit, and Geno Smith just steps up into him. Harold Landry gets full credit for the sack. And yeah, so not really deserved there. Completely caused by the other pass rushers. The second sack he gets is just like a stunt where he's just completely unblocked. I don't think the Raiders O-line played well this game. Jackson Powers, just be better. I really like him, but like he's not had the starts of the career he's wanted. But he just gets wide open on a stunt. Another sack. And then the half sack comes in with K'Lavon Chase on. I don't remember that play super well, but from what I remember, it was, yeah, kind of just Geno held on to the ball for a little bit. And Landry and Chase on just got there. So, yeah, he gets what? 4 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks. Yeah, man, this is why you gotta like watch the game, look at other stats such as like pressures and pass rush win rate, just to see the full story, because looking at the stats is not gonna tell you what you want about Harold Landry. This was not that good of a game. I think Myles Garrett ended the game with 2 sacks, 2.5 sacks, and my gosh, he played so much better than Harold Landry. So yeah, sorry, Harold. I don't really want to be hating on you, but I'm just telling it how I saw it, and I didn't see that impressive of a 2.5 sack game. So, again, hope you do well, brother. But I just gotta call that out, you know. Yeah, with the Patriots, we'll see. Trayvon Henderson looked okay. I feel like with rookie running backs, that's not really a type of player, or a rookie running back, I mean, that I want to be like, oh, he'll like develop well as the season goes on. I feel like it just was okay with Trayvon Henderson, you know? I think he just got what was given to him, and that was about it. So obviously there's potential for more, but I know he entered the season with a lot of hype, and I wasn't that impressed. I don't know. Maybe other people saw the game differently, but that's what I took from it. Cardinals Saints. In addition to being a Steelers fan, I am a Cardinals fan. So yeah, it's hard knock life out here. Say that. Yeah, man. Cardinals win this game. A lot of people are not that high on the Cardinals after this game. I kind of am. I thought the Saints played pretty well. And after this game, in thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, the Saints like still do have a pretty talented roster. Like if you just look like at these offensive players, like Kamara is good. Juwan Johnson, good. He had a great game, man. Olave is fine on whatever you get out of him. He's better than fine. Rashid Shaheed, good player. Brandon Cooks is a player. He had some decent plays. The O-line for the Saints is like pretty solid as well. There's some not so great spots, but overall, like Talisse Fuanga has looked pretty good. You know, you still got like Cesar Ruiz, Eric McCoy, I believe. I think they both played this game. They're good. So Saints old like the Saints offense is just like pretty solid outside the quarterback. And like just looking at the defense, like looking at these names, like there's some talent here, man. Karl Granderson had a good game. Cam Jordan, kind of a Harold Landry situation with those sacks. I think he actually had like one really good sack, but it's just like, where did that come from? Okay, but yeah, like they got some talent, man. DeMario Davis still killing it at 36. Justin Reed is fine. Bryan Bresee, I thought, actually had a good game. Like get him McKinstry, Alante Taylor at corner is fine. Like they have a decent roster. I think that was kind of getting overlooked going into the season. So I don't really expect the Saints team to win many games. I think looking at that bell curve, this was maybe like an 80 to 90th percentile game. I feel like they just played well. Nothing really went wrong, man. If you look at Rattler's stats, no picks, no sacks, no fumbles. He did throw a pick that was called back on a defensive penalty. Will Johnson just displayed excellent ball skills to pick off a deep pass. And so, yeah, could have had an interception, but kind of got bailed out by a defensive penalty that didn't affect the play, I think. But Spencer Rattler is just weird. Sorry, I'm kind of blending the two teams. I'm not really talking about them separately, but like Spencer Rattler was like viewed as like a dynamic big play. Like, Will likes to throw a deep quarterback, like going back to like Oklahoma and just like this game especially, even like last year as well. And his starts just like throws it short, just like all the time, and it's like kind of boring. Like, it's not what you expect out of Spencer Rattler. So I get like that's probably how the Saints are going to be best, is just if he throws it short. But maybe I'd like to see him be a bit more dynamic, especially with guys like Rashid Shaheed and Juwan Johnson's pretty good. Like, can get up the field for you. But let me break the teams down a little bit more individually. The Cardinals played well, I thought. I would say this was like a 50% outcome here, like right in the middle. This is probably like an average Cardinals game. I think like Kyler Murray may be a bit below average, but the defense really played well. I think Gannon's just got his roster now. Like, obviously, you could still improve on what they have. Like, the secondary is good. The linebackers are fine, but I think Gannon really gets the most out of those guys. And the D line for the Cardinals finally has like that depth that Gannon wants, kind of like running those hockey rotations, like rotating guys a lot. They just always look fresh, always look good. Josh Sweat, maybe not getting the stats from this game. Yeah, like not at all. But like looked good, had a lot of plays. Maybe it wasn't like a pressure, but like you could see like he was getting something the Cardinals were missing, which was like a consistent threat on the edge. That's the most I can say about him. Baron Browning had a good game as well, gets the sack, but just kind of similarly, just getting like some pretty like good push and pressure in that D line. Marvin Harrison looked good. I think that weight it was really looking good. It's gonna help him a lot. Oh my gosh, sorry, I just looked at Will Johnson's three passes defended. I thought he had like one or two. I didn't know he had three. That's actually insane. We'll see if that keeps up, but Will Johnson looked really good this game. Yeah, Marv, that size looks good. He had one play, I think, like slot fade, like against Kool-Aid McKinstry. He kind of just like kind of bodied him for that catch. Or like maybe it would have been a penalty, but I think overall, like, is a what he did was totally like legal, kind of getting a little bit of a push off. And I was like, yep, yeah, that's that's that 10, 15 pounds of muscle he put on. So even if he's maybe not gonna be that player he was hyped up to be, that's too early to say that, so I really hesitate in saying that. But maybe if that's not the player he is, I think like the player he is right now is good, man. It's solid. I think as a receiver one, that's fine, especially with that like that added weight. He's just gonna be their same receiver he was last year, which was fine, and now just be even like a little better. I think that's great, man. So you obviously want to see him take a step, but the rest of the Cardinals I think played well. I love Greg Dortch. Seeing him return kicks and punts was just fun. Trey McBride is just a guy, man. Definitely the engine of the Cardinals offense in the short and intermediate areas for sure. James Conner is so good. Top seven running back in the league, I would say. But that's as much as I have to say on this game. Now, my Pittsburgh Steelers, man, what a fun game. I just love what the NFL did in this week one. Just putting a lot of like rivalries or like games like this up, like, oh, Justin Fields and Aaron Rodgers are playing against their old team. That's super fun. And yeah, this game did not disappoint. I think the Jets played a really good game. This was probably like an 85th percentile outcome for them. Like, maybe a little less. Man, their secondary was so rough. Brandon Stevens just sucks, dude. Like, what are the Jets doing? I really am curious who made the decision to sign Brandon Stevens. Like, was it Woody Johnson? Did he look at that guy's Madden like star development that he might have and just be like, yeah, that's a guy, But, like, he's just so bad. Like, Calvin Austin looked like freaking like prime Tyler Lockett against this guy, just like getting open. Just like when Brandon Stevens just like slips and then like also winning like contested catches. Like, I love Calvin Austin. I think he even displayed some of that like tough contested catching last year. But you really saw more this game. Just but is that Calvin Austin or is that Brandon Stevens not being good? I don't know. But just looking at this, zoomed out just a little bit more on the game as a whole, very exciting game. Both offenses played well. I think the Steelers' veterans players and defense, just as it always seems to does, just as it always seems to do. Excuse me. They just come in the clutch. Like, I don't think the Steelers have a great like top five defense. I don't think they have for a while. They're really not that good between the 20s even, but man, they're just so good when like when they need to be. You obviously see that fully encapsulated by Jalen Ramsey breaking up that pass at the end of the game, but just this game, maybe not as much, but in general, really good at like holding teams to like field goals instead of touchdowns. But Justin Fields played well, man. Looked really, really good rushing the ball. I think made just like good decisions rushing. I think passing, like his stats look good, but I would say it was he wasn't asked to do much in the passing game, but what he did was good. So we'll see. I think he's just kind of continuing on that development the Steelers set him on last year of like, hey man, we don't need you to do everything like you need to do in Chicago. Just take what the defense gives you. Like look through your first read. This sounds weird, but if you think of it, look at your second read. You start to see him do that more and more starting back last year. Like, hey, try to get to your second read, Justin. If not, just take off and run. And that he's doing a great job of that. So, and that's not going to get you to be like a top half of the league quarterback, even probably just because you're going to leave some meat on the bone. Just like, missing open receivers. But like, you're going to get a decent amount just because of the athlete he is and stuff. But let me just finish off the conversation with the Jets. Breece Hall looked really good. Just looked explosive, just like he wasn't last year. I think the O-line being improved helps. I think Nathaniel Hackett is no longer their OC. If he is, my gosh, what are you doing? But I'm pretty sure he's not. Getting him out of the building, so helpful. Breece Hall, the Jets run game O-line looks good. Their young tackles played well. Yeah, pretty impressed with both of them. I think pivoting into the Steelers conversation, TJ Watt is still like a really good player. The reason I say that, when you watch Steelers games, he just gets chipped every single play by a tight end or a receiver. And I don't think he's the best at getting, making something happen from those chips because I think he's a player that relies a little more on his athleticism and the bend and the speed rather than just blowing through guys. It's hard to display that when you're being blocked by two people, obviously. Like he's literally like taking out two players most plays. Like he'll kind of disrupts. I mean, I know obviously that's what a chip does. It doesn't allow the tight end or running back to run like anything really more than like like little release route to the flat. But like he does a good job of occupying two guys. I think even despite that, he still gets some pressures and like quarterback hurries and hits. And he, dude, TJ Watt's just a beast in the run game. The reason I was kind of tying this to the Jets conversation is I think, yes, Ben Booth, the right tackle, lined up against Watt all game, played well, but like he just got a lot of chip help. So we don't really know how he held up, would have held up 1-on-1 with TJ Watt. But Fashanu held up well against Highsmith. Highsmith, as you can see, ends up with a sack. Just, yeah, veteran play. Fashanu just kicks his slide out too far, and yeah, Highsmith just bends it in and easy sack. Gets a few QB hits as well, but overall, fashion you did well. With the Steelers, I'm just like so excited for Aaron Rodgers, man. I mean, I'm biased, fully admit that, but like I was watching a Jets game from last year a few weeks ago. Yeah, really impressed by what Aaron Rodgers showed. I think he's like 85% of the player he was from like his peak form. He's definitely missing some athleticism, just I don't want to say like decision making, but just I don't know. Maybe just like he's lost a bit of like arm talent, just playmaking that affects kind of like the decisions he makes, if that makes sense. But I think he's still pretty close to that MVP self. Like when he's really locked in, like he was this game, Just so reliable, can still improvise a bit. He's even like he's not that much less athletic than he was. I think like especially like a while removed from that Achilles tear, like he's moving pretty well. He was at the end of last year, I think wasn't a ton of opportunities to do that this game, but he still moves fine. He showed a little bit of that just throwing on the run, even man. He could still flick his wrist and that ball just goes on a rope. So I don't know what else I have to say about this game. You know, would love to see more Caleb Johnson. Kenneth Gainwell did not do much, so I'd love to see Caleb Johnson get those reps. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure there's a reason he wasn't getting them, but would love to see him and Derek Harmon just get on the field. I think Harmon was injured, but would love to see the Steelers' young players do more. They're going to need them as the season goes on. Chris Boswell, too. What a guy. Okay, next game I have. These next ones will go slower. Save the Bills Ravens game. Yeah, Giants, Commanders. Didn't watch this game. I want to. I like a lot of players in this game, but just the Giants, like a dysfunctional team. I think we were really hoping that wouldn't have been the case this year, given that, you know, no more Daniel Jones. They, I think, do a bit on the O-line. Maybe they. I don't even know what to say just about the Giants. Like, I really like Brian Daboll. I really believe in him. You just have to hope something goes different. They just need more play that O-line. Again, didn't watch the game, but I like follow NFL media and stuff. And I've heard that, and that's totally checks out from like last year, you know. Just you, what do you do like with an O-line that's so bad, especially Russ not really being that playmaker he is. You kind of, when you lose that out of Russ, he's, I think, just like, you know, not that great of a quarterback. And I don't think he's gonna like help that poor O line. So see what happens. Maybe they can just turn that around. But I think sadly Dable's gonna get let go after this season. I don't know how much he did to deserve that. So I'll definitely watch this game, and you know, maybe in future videos I'll have more to say about these teams. But you know, for the Commanders, Jaden Daniels doesn't do a whole lot and you win the game. Honestly, you love to see that, man. I feel like last year is just like, you know, Jaden Daniels doesn't go crazy. If he doesn't carry us, we're not gonna win. And you love to see a little more being done by the rest of the team here. I think the Commanders off just roster is a lot more improved than it was last year. So yeah, love to see that. I think this team is definitely a threat to contend, you know, like they were last year. A little concerned just about the age of the team having a ton of veterans. I feel like for some reason I, in my head, view them as kind of this younger team because, oh, Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury. But like, I think they're actually like the oldest team in the NFL just because they have a lot of like veteran like players. But so we'll see how that happens. Yeah, I don't know how much else I have to say about this game. I love Bill Kroski, Merritt. Keep it up, brother. I don't know what his 10 for 82 looked like because I didn't watch the game, but seems like everyone just had positive things to say about him. I mean, they literally traded Brian Robinson, so what more do you want? Okay, 49ers Seahawks is the next one I'm going to discuss here. Just watched a bit of this game on Red Zone. I think I watched the tail end of it as well. And yeah, love the rivalry game here. I want to start out with this. It happened at the end of the game, but I'll start out with it now. The end of this game showed why you pay premium edge rushers, because Nick Bosa closes out the game by beating his man, forcing a fumble, game over. So like I said at the beginning of this video, it's like, yes, on a down-to-down basis, I feel like maybe those impactful edge rushers don't do a ton because you can always like scheme around it and stuff. So it's kind of like they don't have the biggest impact, but like in playoff games, third downs, end of games, man, like that premium edge rusher just is huge because sometimes, like, you know, you can't chip them every play, so the plays you don't, like, they'll just come up big every once in a while. It's exactly what happened with Nick Bosa. So I didn't watch a ton of this game, so I can't comment on too much. But for the Niners, you really hope that George Kittle is back and healthy. Sucks to see him go down. He was playing well. But yeah, hopefully just McCaffrey and Pierce all can stay healthy because I believe Juwan Jennings also went down with an injury. But Jake Tonges, maybe that's how you say his name. Maybe not. I don't know. But had a great touchdown catch over Tariq Woolen, I believe. Man, that guy just like built in a lab corner, you know. Yeah, if you have a Madden Ultimate team, like he's probably on your team just because he's hecka fast and is like 6'4". But like, just really inconsistent, not that great of a football player, just consistently, just mentally making mistakes, whether that be like getting kind of mossed by Jake Tonjes, or there was a play on Pearsall where he kind of gets like turned around and Pearsall gets that 45-yard play, which you see here in that long category. Not a good run defender. You just want him to be a little more. If he was good, I think the Seattle defense looks a lot better because they have a lot of talent in other places. I don't know what the Seahawks are doing with Ken Walker. I don't know if this is a, hey, let's save him for the end of the season playoffs, but you want to see him play more than 40% of the snaps like he did, I think. And I mean snaps, not running plays. Although he that's about the amount of the rushing attempts he got too, which is weird. But yeah. I don't know. Seahawks just really got to figure out this offense going back to last year with Ryan Grubb and stuff. It just wasn't great. You really hope they figure it out. But I honestly don't have too much confidence in them with kind of poor O-line still. I don't know how they played this game because I didn't watch it. But obviously they get cooked at the end for that Nick Bosa strip sack. But I just don't think a bad O-line and Sam Darnold's a good combination. I think that's pretty well documented. So we'll see what happens there. Next game, Lions Packers. I guess I have a decent amount to say about this. I watched most of this game, unfortunately turned it off before Isaac Teslaw had that sick catch. But man, you really worry about the Lions. I think they'll still be a good team. I think the Packers just had a great game, maybe like a 90th percentile outcome for them. We'll start with the Lions though. They're rookie guards of what, Christian Mahogany and Tate Ratledge did not play well. Like, you hope they develop, but man, they just got destroyed by Micah Parsons running from the inside and just Devontae Wyatt and the other Packers defensive tackle. I'm forgetting his name. They kind of just feasted. Even Graham Glasgow sliding into center. Not a good game. Taylor Decker even got beat. Penei Sewell didn't have the best game against Parsons, at least in the pass blocking phase, but he's not like the best pass blocking tackle in the world. He held up fine, but yeah, the Lions O-line not being as good really held them back. You could tell that for sure. Like, and Jahmyr Gibbs, like, they had just to check the ball down to him a ton because they couldn't really go into the drawback passing game. And he sets the NFL record for least receiving yards on 10 or more receptions. And that's really shocking because he's probably the most explosive player in the league with the ball in his hands. So that's pretty hard to do. With the Lions, man, the play calling seems mostly the same as it was with Ben Johnson. It's just hard to tell when you don't have the blocking. I don't know what else there is to say. Their defense played fine, I thought. Aiden Hutchinson. I've been wanting to kind of pump the brakes on the Aiden Hutchinson talk from last year. Like, yes, his stats were absurd through the first 4 or 5 games of last year, but like, he was kind of just beating up on bad tackles. He was like sliding up and down the line, depending on the game, just kind of getting that mismatch against the other team's backup tackle. I think he played against like three backup tackles in those 4 games and just was cooking them. I think in this game, you see that like, what are his stats? He ends up like one quarterback hit, no other stats. Again, stats aren't everything. You have to look at pass rush win rate, which I didn't do. I probably should, but I watched the game and he did not have that much of an impact. And the Packers O-line is pretty good. Sure, right? Rashid Walker, Zach Tom. We think Zach Tom gets hurt like halfway through this game. But yeah, man. Lions defense, I think you want a bit more out of them. I think just Lions for them. This is like a 15-20% outcome. The game wasn't really even close. You hope their guards can step it up and they can turn it around. Isaac Teslaw makes that sick catch. That's awesome. I love Isaac Teslaw. I got him in a fantasy league, just stashed at the end of my bench mostly as a meme, but I really think he can break out. I think he is like, he could be their second most talented receiver slash tight end. Jahmyr Gibbs probably still gonna be better, but I think he could be better than Laporta, which is not Laporta hate. I'm just like, hey man, this is like the 5% outcome for Teslaw. He could be their number two receiver as early as like week 8, I would say. If like, you know, he gets that one target, great catch. Obviously, that could be fluky, but we'll see. For the Packers, the Micah Parsons game is like cool and all, right? But did he do that much outside of that like chase down sack he got a Jared Goff? I think he was kind of dealing with an injury, but I don't know. I think just like he changes the math. of the pass rush with the, I think allowed like Van Ness and excuse me, Devontae Wyatt to like do more. But like I think really the standout MVP of this Packers defense was Ejiron Cooper. Just absolutely a madman, dude. Such a good game, just all around the field, just always at the ball. He watching Packers games last year, it was kind of more of this, it was the same at the end of the year, dude. He's a stud. I really think the Packers will have an elite defense with Parsons just being fully integrated and guys like Ejiron Cooper, who I think just raises Quay Walker to be like a above average, an average linebacker too with him, as opposed to Quay Walker's your best linebacker. He's probably playing at a below average level, but if he doesn't, if he can kind of be that more like gap shooting instinctive player, I think that's a much better role for him. Okay, we got three games left, I believe. Man, go a little faster through these. Said that four times now. The Texans Rams. Didn't watch this game really. Just a little bit on NFL Red Zone. Man, what are the Texans doing trading Laremy Tunsil? I don't really have much more to break down. Obviously, they're playing against like a good pass rush in the Rams. But like, I understand if he's like not being the best culture fit and is kind of like dragging other guys down, but you just don't trade like elite pass protecting left tackles. I think this game is a good understanding of why. The only other thing I'll say on the Texans is CJ Stroud is still really good. He did not regress last year. It's just the play calling last year, especially, was not that good with Bobby Slowick. It had flashes, but overall, it was pretty unimpressed. And without having an O line, you're asking Stroud to do a lot. And I think the fact that he was even like a good quarterback, I would say, last year just goes a lot to what a player he is. Yeah, for the Rams, let's take a quick peek at the stats. Texans have a good defense, man. I think it's great that Buka was able to do a lot against it. Couldn't really establish much on offense. Again, didn't watch the game, but kind of what I saw in Red Zone and the final score and stats, I think, proves that. Texans have a really, really solid defense, man. And it's a good win for the Rams. You know, I think these are both playoff teams, and you love the Rams kind of being able to become more of that defensive team. We're like, yeah, we can lock the other team down, and we don't need Stafford and, yeah, his boys to do a lot. So, good win from the Rams. Next, we'll move on to the. We'll do Bears Vikings next. I want to save the Bills Ravens for last. I have some words for that game. I watched some of this game. Wasn't able to catch all of it and haven't watched the condensed game yet. But really good win from the Vikings. Like they come back from a few scores down. JJ McCarthy overcomes like a pick six. And yeah, you love to see that. That's kind of all I have to say, you know. JJ McCarthy looked good. I liked the poise of these two quarterbacks. As I said, McCarthy throws that pick, it gets returned for a touchdown, and comes back and just plays confidently, plays well. You know, he did. I think both quarterbacks did a lot with their legs. I really liked what I saw out of Caleb Williams. He just looked like just faster in every sense of the word. Like when he was running, he looked faster. When he was making decisions within the offense, he looked faster. I think that a lot of that just goes back to Ben Johnson and Shane Waldron and the difference between those two guys. Ben Johnson, elevator for your team. Shane Waldron, detractor for your team. So yeah, I'm excited to see this Bears team. Romo Dunze looked good too. You know, get DeAndre Swift away from Ben Johnson. I feel bad that Ben Johnson like gets rid of DeAndre Swift and has to go back to the team Swift is on, so hopefully he can get maybe a little more out of him. Maybe Manungai, Roshan Johnson, maybe they find favor in this offense, though I don't know how likely that is. Yeah, but I didn't watch too much of this game, so I don't have too many takeaways. I just was overall impressed just by the coaching and the quarterbacks in this game. It's a lot, you know, going against a Brian Flores defense for Caleb Williams, especially after a lot of the weaknesses he had last year. I thought he played really well. So I'm excited to see these teams play again later on in the year. And we'll see what happens. Just, you know, like a lot of these other teams, we'll see by week four what these teams are. I think both of these teams will be solid contenders, though. I think both of these teams will be fighting for a playoff spot. So excited to see what happens here. Let me check my notes if I have anything else. Yeah, not really. Just DeAndre Swift. I wrote down DeAndre Swift, LOL. I believe I was, watching a rush play, and man, I think he just, there was an open hole. He tried to bounce it outside and got tackled, which has basically been the story of his career. So, just the coaching on both these teams is so elite. The rosters are really shaping out nicely here for both of these young quarterbacks. I think both teams are doing it the right way, and I'm really excited to see what the future will be like for both of these teams. So the last game, the Ravens and the Bills, man, I have a lot to say about this game. Let's just start it off with this. If you're the Ravens, why do you give the ball back to Josh Allen in that situation? I don't understand it. Right as I got into that fourth down situation with like a minute 40 left, Bills have no timeout, they're at your own 40-yard line. You have to go for it. And like, I understand it's the regular season, but like, who cares? Like, who cares, bro? Just like, it didn't make any sense. Like, I think what I've realized in this, in situations like these, if there's a tough like decision in a football game, I just ask myself, what would the Chiefs do in this situation? Not because I'm like trying, I'm the biggest Chiefs fan. I'm not trying to like be a Mahomes and Andy Reid stan, but just they just have something at the end of the games other teams don't have. And the Chiefs would have gone for it there. They've done it in the past. I believe it was against like the Browns or the Texans in a playoff game like 2, 3 years ago. There was like this exact situation, but there was even less time on the clock. I think they were maybe like 5 or 10 yards ahead, but whatever. It doesn't matter. They go for it and they win the game. It's like you have one of three. I will not include Joe Burrow in this. Just I'll explain. It's like you have one of three elite quarterbacks in short yardage situations. I would consider that to be Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. You have one and you're playing against one. So I know your defensive roster and just you have faith in your defense as the Ravens. That's a good thing. And I understand that, right? But just like, why do you take the ball out of your superstar quarterback's hands and put it into the hands of the other superstar quarterback? It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Just at the moment and after the game, man, that's all I could think about. It's just like, I don't understand who made the decision to punt it, why they made that decision. But it's like, hear me out. Even if you don't get that fourth down, you're kind of in the same situation of like, if you get a stop, you probably still win the game. Because even if the Bills hit a long field goal, like you're gonna get the ball back with like probably a minute 20 and no timeouts. And now all you need is a field goal. So like, what's the downside really? The downside is they get a few first downs and like end the game if you don't get on fourth down. But guess what? That's the same thing that's gonna happen if you punt the ball away. So why not take like that 70% chance you have of getting the fourth down? When you do that, the game is 100% over. So just like even looking at this like statistically, like say you go for it on fourth down, you have a 70% chance of getting the first down, and that ends the game. So if you go for it, you have a 70% chance of winning the game. Okay, so there's kind of two options if you don't get it on the fourth down. Option one, so you don't get it, and then the Bills like milk the clock out. And they kick a field goal as time expires. Okay, well, say maybe that's like, say even that's like 50% likely. Okay, so you lose the game there. 0% chance of winning. But say you stop the Bills when they get the ball back. And now you have the ball with a minute 10 left. And then you get it back and can just kick a field goal. You have a pretty good shot of winning the game there. So I think I kind of lost myself in the statistics sauce. I really should like map this out by hand before I did it. But just like, I just think statistically, you have, I would have needed to break this down by statistics if they like punted it and stuff. But I'm way too tired to do that right now. But yeah, my point, you just go for it there, man. Just even like putting like the statistics and next gen stats aside, it's just like, you have an elite quarterback and you take the ball out of their hands. What are you doing? But putting that aside, man, let's just focus on the positives here. This was like game of the year contender. Such a good game. Bills kind of are getting like slacked through 3 quarters and then 3.5 quarters, really.
Then they get the ball back, they score. Derrick Henry fumbles, which is super rare. Then they get the ball back and score. Then the whole thing at the end, they kick the game when you feel like, oh, it was just so fun to watch. Like, if you haven't watched this game, watch the highlights, or if you can, just watch the entire game. It's just peak football, man. This was such a fun game to watch. I really hope we see these teams in the playoffs or at some point later in the season. Well, that's the only time we'll see them in the playoffs because they're not going to play each other again. But I hope we get this matchup, man. It was so much fun. Just both teams are so good. I think I don't need to go into too many of the positives. You guys know it. Derrick Henry is a beast. How he's that fast at that size, I don't know. Lamar, so good. Bills, so good. I do want to bring up Spencer Brown. Man, he is just a beast of a tackle for the Bills. Other than that, those teams are just both so stacked. The only, again, I hate to like be negative about this game because like 80% of the conversation about this game is negative. But I think that's just because you guys, if you're listening to this, you know the positives. You know this was an amazing game. You know, like I will watch this game 11 times out of 10. Like if it's on, and I will like be so happy watching it. But just another thing I do want to bring up that just I can't help but think about in this is like, I feel like the coaching is probably holding these two teams back from being anything more serious. Like John Harbaugh, I assume is the one making the decision to punt it, which I don't like, but that's okay. Harbaugh's a good coach. But it's like with Harbaugh, now you're probably gonna lose your OC and Todd Monken after this year. Is it Todd Monken? I always get him and Jesse Minter confused. It's one of those two guys. I'm so sorry. I don't know which one it is. But yeah, you're gonna lose your OC. I don't like that. I don't. It's kind of like the same conversation with like Tomlin and the Steelers. Like it's a bit different because Arthur Smith's not gonna get hired away as an OC, and I like him as an OC. It's just hard having like a coach that doesn't bring something schematically on the offense to the table. Like you're just gonna be kind of in an endless cycle of losing your OC over and over. And I don't know if Harbaugh is doing too much to elevate your team at this point, other than building that culture and just keeping like the Baltimore Ravens going. Same with the Bills. It's just like Sean McDermott is a defensive head coach, so at least he brings something schematically, and he brings like that same kind of like solid culture of just like players buying in, signing contracts early to stay in Buffalo. You love all that that's going on there. It's like when the Bills play good teams, their defense just doesn't do much. It just feels like it's Josh Allen's team, even though you have a solid defensive roster and you have a defensive head coach. You'd want a bit more out of them. It feels like it's just down to Josh Allen at the end of games, where like with the Chiefs, or not the Eagles, but like, because Nick Sirianni, like, so let's compare them to Chiefs for now. With the Chiefs, like at the end of the game, you really feel like you're playing against the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and just that Chiefs identity of like being really, really good and smart at the end of the team. And when you're thinking about the Bills at the end of the games, you're kind of just the ball is in Josh Allen's hands, and like that's your guy, you know? So it's a long way to go for a short drink of water, man, but I think there's a reason the Chiefs are more successful than both of these teams. I hate just to like go from this good game to now comparing them to the Chiefs, but that's what I'm thinking about from this game. And maybe that's gonna change this year. Maybe one of these teams beat the Chiefs and this conversation will shift. But it just has to be said. Overall, though, my last note on this game is awesome game, man. Like, you don't want anything else as a football fan. So that's all I'm gonna say about it. I'm done. I'm done. I do want to do like kind of, I think the future episodes, this will be a little more structured rather than just me like ranting on about these games. I want to do like a quick segment here of I want to do like three awards from the week, just of like individual players or moments, teams. This week it's just gonna be three players, but three players that really stood out. So this one kind of just a meme, but Ben Skowronek of the Steelers, what a game, brother. Like receiving touchdown, gets the fumble recovery on a kickoff, and like draws a penalty on special teams, I think a legal block in the back or holding or something. Just
What an awesome game from just a fun player. Get that receiving touchdown, the first Steelers touchdown of the season, and then also just being a special teams beast. I mentioned this guy earlier, but Spencer Brown, I think just gets like the underrated player of the week award. Like he's just good, bro. He really does a lot in both the run game. There is a play, he just chucks a player aside. I can find the player. Let me scroll down here a bit. Ravens defense. Oh wow, they had a lot of people record a sack. I think it was Broderick Washington. Yeah, he just chucks this guy aside. Maybe he was an edge rusher, I want to say. I think it was Tavius Robinson, actually. He just like throws the guy aside. It's like this guy is such a freak athlete and just very technically sound at this point in his career. So yeah, I just gave him like the underrated player of the week award. I want to talk about Derrick Henry, just him being like so fast at that size. But I think I'll give the award to a different player. I think I'll split it between Aaron Rodgers and Justin Fields of the Let's See More award. Like both of these guys had really good games against like pretty like tough defenses and a tough like situation of like, yeah, you're playing the teams that didn't really want you. Like there's probably like a lot of emotions running high. It's week one. And they both just balled out, man. So let's just see more of that, you know? Cool. So that's all I have for this video. I think in the future, the structures of these, I'm hoping to have a video out like once a week. The structure of these will look a lot different. This was really unstructured, man. Like I literally just had like Football Reference pulled up and I was talking over it. So most not the most exciting, I know. Hey, if you made it all the way through, man, let me know somehow, like in the comments or something. Appreciate you so much. But yeah, I think this was really just to, like kind of dip my feet into this whole like content creation, podcast, YouTube thing. So I know this probably wasn't the most entertaining thing, but really just like I said, dipping my toes in. So we'll get a bit more of like a structured approach in the future. I'd say a little less ranty, more like we'll break it into like, okay, this will be a recap of the game. This will be like some takeaways, players that stood out. Maybe it'll be more like that. But yeah, I don't know. You learn as you go. So yeah, I think that's where we'll end this. But yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Peace.